first time fell unexpectedly last week. New claims came in at 398,000. That's the lowest level since early April. As for the housing industry, pending home sales rose nearly 2.5% in June. That is a future barometer for the housing industry. Meanwhile, foreclosures in the first half of the year dropped by nearly a third, but RealtyTrack says it's a sign of paperwork backups and not an improving market. On Wall Street, the Dow is flat after yesterday's near 200-point skid. Dave.
Lauren, the price of oil, it is holding steady, not moving much either today after dropping yesterday back below $98 a barrel, while gas prices rise a little. AAA's national average for self-serve regular up over $3.70 a gallon. Well, this could help Walmart and its new online movie streaming business. A lot of people are angry at Netflix.
A new study has shown that more than 15% of Netflix customers plan to cancel their service when the rate hikes go into effect in September.
They choose to use both DVD by mail and streaming. The price basically jumps about 60%.
But Michael Greeson with the Diffusion Group, which put out the report, says the price changes don't affect everyone negatively. If users want to just stream or just use the mail service, the price actually goes down. And despite new competition in the rental department from companies like Walmart now offering online pay-per-view services, Greeson says the Netflix allure comes from unlimited access for a flat rate. Sabrina Sabah, Fox News Radio.
Well, film studios in Hollywood have won what they consider a test case in Britain against movie piracy. A judge says he'll order the country's largest internet provider to block access to a website accused of flagrant copyright infringement, and Hollywood studios plan to seek similar orders against other independent service providers. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Physical activity is body movement that uses energy. From house to lawn work, walking to dancing, biking or swimming, remember, some is better than none. Soundshore Medical Center encourages you to talk with your healthcare provider about the type and amount of physical activity that's right for you and your condition. Most individuals, regardless of size or ability, can benefit from physical activity. For a copy of Soundshore's brochure on physical activity, please call 914-365-3597.
Updated weather forecast for today. Our skies are going to be partly sunny to start, but then becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of some later day showers or even a thunderstorm. Highs today will range into the middle 80s. Breeze will be out of the northeast at 5 to 15, but becoming south this afternoon. That's going to bring in haze and humidity for tonight, so the chance of a shower. Overnight lows in the upper 60s. Friday's weather, early clouds, a chance of a shower, thunderstorm in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon. Again, that chance of a later day thunderstorm could be locally severe. A warm, muggy day. Temperatures mid to upper 80s on Friday. Friday night, still the chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Nighttime lows, lower 70s. Saturday, mostly sunny, and it's going to be a hot, humid day. Temperatures near 90. Sunday, sunshine and hot highs near 90 degrees. Extended forecast, we open up August with a sunny and warm day, 85 to 90 on Monday. Tuesday, sunny, upper 80s. Wednesday, mostly sunny again in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
We have ways of making you talk.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, July 28th, 2011, the 38th day of summer. These are still some of the longer days of the year, but use the daylight to your best advantage. It won't be long before afternoon shadow will start to lengthen, heralding the approach of autumn. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 23 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. Days will continue to shorten until the winter solstice on December 22nd, as it has been since time began. The sun rose at 5:47 this morning. It will set at 8:15 this evening. We will have 14 hours and 28 minutes of daylight today, still 3 hours and 14 minutes longer than the winter solstice. It will be less than 3 hours when next we meet. The moon rose this morning at 3:24, sets tonight at 6:39. So, of course, when the moon is up during the day, not visible in the night sky, we are near new moon phase, which occurs officially on Saturday in 2 days. Just as the moon appears full for several days at and around full phase, so it appears little or not at all around the new moon. But know what? Also, as it has been since time began, there will be a full moon soon, August 13th to be exact. Next high tides in New Rochelle. The last high tide was 9:56. It's only 15 minutes old, so it's full high in New Rochelle. 8:17 p.m. in Yonkers. Dobbs Ferry, 8:45 p.m. In Peekskill, 9:40 p.m. So actually, it's high all around the region. It came up after high tide occurred after 9 o'clock, about 9:30 in most locations. So you are at high tide now. If you go down to the water, you won't see as many rocks, and if you're in your boat, you won't run aground as easily. It is summertime. Our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war, may they live on in all of our hearts. Casualties whom we honor today, Sergeant Jeremy R. Summers, age 27, of Mount Olivet, Kentucky. He was with the Screaming Eagles, 101st Airborne. He died on July 14th. He was wounded on July 13th by small arms fire in Paktika province. These are all Afghanistan. Staff Sergeant Lex Lee Lewis, age 40, of Rapid City, South Dakota. He was with the 4th Infantry, killed on July 15th, small arms fire during a dismounted patrol in Farah province. Staff Sergeant Wyatt A. Goldsmith, age 28, from Colville, Washington. He was with the 1st Special Forces Group. He was killed on July 15th by a rocket-propelled grenade in Helmand Province. Lance Corporal Marine Christopher L. Camaro, age 19, of Kailua Kona, Hawaii. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed on July 15th by a roadside bomb during combat in Helmand Province on July. I have two conflicting dates here, July 15th and July 6th. So I'm not sure when Lance Corporal Christopher L. Camaro was. We lost him. I'm not sure of that date now. Corporal Raphael R. Aruda, age 21, of Ogden, Utah. He was an Army reservist. He was killed on July 16th by a roadside bomb in Kunar province. And the way these dates are going, I think probably Corporal Camaro was on July 15th. Specialist Frank R. Gross, age 25, of Oldsmar, Florida. He was with the 38th Cav. He was killed on July 16th, wounded, and then he died the same day in Kandahar province. The wounds actually were sustained in Coast Province, but he did not make it through the day. That was a roadside bomb. Lance Corporal Jabari N. Thompson, age 22, of Brooklyn, New York. He was with the 2nd Marine Division. He died on July 17th in Germany of wounds sustained when a roadside bomb detonated during combat operations in Helmand Province, July 13th. He stayed alive for 4 days. Master Sergeant Kenneth Bryan Elwell of Holland, Pennsylvania. He was with 25th Infantry Division, one of two soldiers killed by a roadside bomb in Kandahar Province on July 17th, along with Private First Class Tyler Michael Springman, age 19, from Hartland, Maine. Both were with the 25th Infantry. Sergeant Omar A. Jones, age 28, of Crook, Colorado. He was with the Nebraska Army National Guard. He died from a non-battle-related injury in Balk Province, July 18th. We never know what those are. They don't tell us. Sergeant Brian K. Mowry, age 49, of Halifax, Pennsylvania. He was with the Pennsylvania Army National Guard, one of three soldiers killed when a roadside bomb detonated near their convoy in Ghazni Province on July 18th, along with Sergeant Mowry, were Staff Sergeant Kenneth R. Van Giesen, 30, from Kane, Pennsylvania. He was also with the Pennsylvania Army National Guard, and also with the same unit, Sergeant Edward W. Kohler, from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Staff Sergeant James M. Christen, age 29, of Loomis, California, with the 25th Infantry, also one of two soldiers. 25th Infantry lost quite a few people in the recent, in this last two weeks. Staff Sergeant James M. Christen, age 29, from Loomis, California, with the 25th Infantry, one of two killed when attacked with a roadside bomb in Kunar Province on July 19th, and from the same unit, Sergeant Jacob Molina, age 27, of Houston, Texas. Finally, Master Sergeant Benjamin A. Stevenson, age 36, from Canyon Lake, Texas. He was U.S. Army Special Operations Command, killed by small arms fire in Paktika Province on July 21st. Just to make it a little bit graphic, small arms fire is they're shooting at you with guns, rifles, pistols, machine guns. That's small arms, as opposed to cannons and grenades and artillery and mortars, whatever they got. These 16 servicemen were alive on the day of our broadcast 2 weeks ago. Sergeant Jeremy R. Summers was killed on that day, perhaps during this show. Many others are in harm's way at this very moment, and some will be killed, protecting our way of life. Perhaps they will fall today. Your homes, your cars, food, phones, iPads are protected by them, not by politicians, capitalists, business people, not by teachers, lawyers, doctors. They are the troops. Now, these photos that I look at when I look up these names of young men and women, sometimes women, they can make me well up sometimes when I look at the photos. So I have to share that with you. They must not be forgotten. You must keep them in your hearts and in your minds. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Quarter, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately for you, there's nothing to review this week, so you cannot be wrong if you disagree. Fortunately for you. I did, however, see the Cirque du Soleil last night. I will report on that next program. I have a mixed review about that. It's at Radio City Music Hall, which is a great place to do almost anything except a circus. But I will report on that fully. I think they'll be there for 5 years, so there's no rush with that review. In the studio with me today, we are supposed to have a Democrat and a Republican. Only the Democrat has shown up. The Republican better get here. Otherwise, we'll have a one-sided discussion. We'll trash him and his party. I, of course, am an independent. However, the three of us, the two of us here and the one in absentia, are all centrist in our fashion, certainly more so than those who are charged with and failing to accomplish our economic business. I ask these two gentlemen to join me because they are men of reason who discuss things rationally. The Democrat who's with me today served this area in Albany for, I believe, 19 years in the state assembly. 20 years in the state assembly. You all know him. Welcome, Ron Tocci.
Thank you, Rob.
Good morning. It's nice to have you here. We're hoping to get Lou Trangucci. He is expected. He's not here yet. He is currently serving as city councilman of New Rochelle District Number 1. And as soon as he gets here, we'll introduce him properly. Okay. Ron, the reason I especially wanted to have a Democrat, a Republican, is because obviously what's going on in Washington, it makes no sense, of course, but you know how government runs because you were in it for so long. I think Mario Cuomo was quoted as saying, if the people knew how the government's business was actually taken care of, they'd be attacking us with pitchforks. You know Mario Cuomo. How likely is it that he said that, or did you hear him say that? And what is it about the way business is being done? I presume state level is comparable to federal. What's going on up there?
Well, I would suggest that he's right. And you've heard the old saying that if you watched how sausage is made, you'd never eat it. That's basically what happens in any legislature, be it state or be it federal. But I believe over the last maybe 5-10 years, things have become so partisan that it's almost impossible to get anything done. And that's why we see gridlock in Washington right now.
Now, I'm inclined to blame that on the plutocrats. And for the listeners who don't are not familiar with that term, plutocrats, a plutocracy is a government run by the rich for the rich. So the plutocrats are those wealthy people who wish to maintain their influence and at all costs, and they don't really care about us. They'll lie. They'll adopt false doctrines. Okay, so now the question got so long-winded that we have to take a break. We will take a short break, and we'll be back. If you're listening in Athens, Macon, or Savannah, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, or Columbia, South Carolina, Milledgeville, Georgia, or Greenville, South Carolina, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. We will be right back.
News at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD2.
From the Fox Business Network, stocks little change this morning. The ongoing debate over the debt ceiling overshadowing better than expected news on the jobs front. The House of Representatives may vote on House Speaker John Boehner's reworked debt plan later today. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow's down 4 points. Fewer Americans joined the unemployment line last week as jobless claims fell below the 400,000 mark for the first time since early April. Initial claims dropped to 398,000 last week, a bigger decline than forecast. Claims have been revised higher in each of the last 4 weeks, though, leaving concerns today's number will get bumped back up above 400,000 next week. And while lawmakers continue their debate on raising the debt ceiling, the Treasury has been working on a backup plan. In the next few days, the agency will lay out a framework about how the government will operate if the debt ceiling is not raised by the August 2nd deadline. Without a deal, the Treasury Department says it will lose its authority to borrow money as of Tuesday. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Who has the best back-to-school event in the business?
Depot does!
Office Depot announces even lower prices on 75 top back-to-school items, plus weekly specials you won't believe. Pocket folders, just 25 cents. Two-pack of 4A dry erase markers, just 25 cents. Pencil sharpeners, 1 cent. That's right, 1 cent. It's the back-to-school event at Office Depot. Don't be late. Expires 7:30. Sharpeners and markers limit 5, folders limit 10.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Every day, every night.
We're number one for fun.
At work, at home.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. This is Bob Levinsohn. The program is Environmentally Sound. We have Ron Tocci in the studio. We're hoping for Lou Trangucci as well. Those of you who have something to weigh in on, we'll accept your calls today, 914-636-0110. If you have any questions or comments, just keep them short because everybody has so much to say. And really, even though I've read all of this, I don't have any solutions. So we can just rant and rail about it forever. Okay, I mentioned before the break the plutocrats, those the rich people who want to maintain their privilege and who do not care about the rest of us. What goes on, Ron Tocci, in Washington? The Pentagon has said in recent years that there's a lot of outdated programs. These are millions, if not billions of dollars worth of expenditures that are being spent on weapons contracts that are no longer current. We know that when you buy a computer, it becomes obsolete the same day you bought it, right? I mean, everything is moving along very quickly. The same thing is with weapons because they're electronic devices as well. So why do we continue to pay for weapons that do no good to anyone but the plutocrats? It just makes them more money, and we're talking lots of it. Halliburton, for instance, Dick Cheney's company. What's going on?
Well, I do believe that certain people in high office probably from different sections of the country, are dependent upon staying in power or making money because of the contracts that are awarded to businesses that may be located in their particular areas. So you'll have North American Aviation or Boeing or whatever it might be that employ, I'm sure, a lot of people. And if they cancel contracts, as evidenced by now what's going on with the NASA program, as it phases out, you're going to have literally thousands of people without jobs in certain sections of the country where there are factories that were manufacturing equipment.
Economic evolution, right?
So it is economic evolution, but at the same time, unfortunately, I think that everybody gets painted. So there are some very, very worthwhile programs that will also suffer or come under suspicion.
Why should they? Why shouldn't smart people, President Obama, John Boehner was a businessman, other, you know, Democrats and Republicans, we're sitting here. They're people, too. They can sit down. Why don't they sit down and say, okay, these are the weapons we have to keep. These are the jobs we have to keep. These are the programs we have to keep. This is what's right. That we don't need. What is the problem? Now, I think of politicians. Now, I don't think of you as a politician. You're more of a statesman to me. But I think of politicians as beholden to those who pay their campaigns, who get them elected, and then they have to pay them favors. Even on a local level, I get things from, oh, come to my barbecue, blah, 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 from certain local officials. And I know that if I kick out that $60 to go to their barbecue or their $100 for a table, blah, 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 when I call, they'll pick up the phone. I pay so that people in office will listen to me. And people who pay millions, like these contractors, have much more access.
Well, I believe that partisan politics has taken over reason.
Why?
I could blame a lot of different factors, but I believe that the media has contributed greatly to the partisanship that is exhibited right now in Washington.
Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
And you know, I got to tell you, you watch CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. And unless you watch all three of those particular stations, you would get a totally different perspective of what is happening in Washington or Albany. And, you know, I say to myself, how could it possibly be that these three stations could be so partisan? I mean, if you watch one or the other exclusively, you have no idea what's really going on.
Right.
So I try to flip the channels around and try to get between the lines the real scoop. And every once in a while, you get a really reasonable, intelligent idea of what's happening from someone who really is trying to be, you know, as nonpartisan and rational as possible.
Well, I believe, now this is a broad belief I have, that that what the right wing calls liberal is really rational. The right wing will call the Times left wing. I think at the Times, they're somewhat conservative in a lot of ways. I think they are truly trying to analyze situations. I don't think that anyone's paying their bills but them. I
don't know. I
don't know.
I think some of the writers, some of the editorialists are very, very fair. And I think others are totally biased.
Okay, but then there's also the Washington Post.
There's no question.
But the New York Post, the Daily News, Fox, as you say, and now, of course, the Wall Street Journal with Murdoch, maybe his influence has now been hurt somewhat. But they don't report what's happening. They skew it. They say, oh, yeah, this is what we want you to hear.
They all do it, Bobby.
Does the left wing do that?
I think they all do it. I see the left wing just as bad, just as guilty. And it's very discouraging because a lot of people, they really are confused. They don't understand. And at the same time, they don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore.
Okay, so now that's sad.
It is sad, but
because you
true.
And I are sitting here, we know. I mean, how come our minds didn't get polluted?
We just talked about what happened to the great leaders of old, okay? We were talking about the Ev Dirksons, a Republican, the Sam Rayburns, a Democrat, or Tip O'Neill, Monahan, okay? People that would go against their own party at times because they truly believe that this is in the best interest of the country. What happened? What happened to those people? Today, it's almost a sin. If you're a Democrat and you go against anything that's considered policy of the Democratic Party, They want to drive you out of the party.
Right.
And the same thing, on the Republican side.
Boehner is having that right now. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. He, in fact, just in this morning's Washington Post, I don't think I could put my hand on it right now, but yeah. Boehner and other GOP leaders are ramping up the pressure on Republicans to pass the debt plan. There are some Republicans that say, no, live with this debt ceiling. Well, you know, in a way, I understand that. You can't just keep spending money you don't have. That's ridiculous. But you don't make the country come to a screeching halt either. You know, it's not, okay, enough is enough. How come, why is enough now and not during the Bush years? Why, when Bush was starting new programs of $5 trillion, with a T, $5 trillion, and cutting taxes on those who really didn't need to have their taxes cut and who were not going to create jobs and who were not going to spend the money they got, give the money to the middle class in tax breaks, and they will spend it. Obama's new programs are less than $1.5 trillion. Bush's were over $5 trillion. Okay, he was in office much longer, but what... How do we forget all of that?
You know, it was interesting. An elderly lady had asked me the other day to explain what's going on with this debt limit. And I think we have to take a break, but this is a good story.
Okay, hang on to that story. And we do have to take a break. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Ron Tocci. I am Bob Levinsohn. Program is Environmentally Sound. If you would like to call in, it's 914-636-0110. If you're listening in Bull Island, Cat Island, Goat Island, or Goose Creek, South Carolina, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says uncertainty about the debt ceiling caused big losses for people who hold stock when the Dow lost nearly 200 points yesterday.
Their life savings took a hit because a small group of radical Republicans don't represent mainstream America have refused to move even one inch toward compromise.
But Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell says House Speaker John Boehner's revised proposal is the best chance to beat Tuesday's deadline to raise the debt limit.
It's inconceivable to me that they would actually block the only bill that could get through the House of Representatives and prevent a default right now. Inconceivable.
The House votes on the Boehner plan today. A soldier said to be absent without leave is reportedly suspected of trying to carry out another attack on Fort Hood in Texas. A military spokesman says Private Nasser Abdo was being investigated for child pornography and went AWOL early this month. Fox News. We report, you decide.
We're looking for the next Mike Francesa, Michael K., Boomer and Carton, or WVOX alum John Bronstein.
WVOX and WVOX Worldwide at WVOX.com now has program time available for rising young sports broadcasters.
And you can now produce or host an hour or half hour for your own sports talk show.
Our David O'Shaughnessy has all the details about special reduced airtime costs for independent sports talk producers.
Call David now to reserve your own weekly time slot and start booking your own guests. 914-636-1460. 914-636-1460 for special prices for sports talk show hosts on WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity, calling for skies to be partly sunny this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, or highs will range into the mid-80s. Cloudy, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms for tonight. Overnight lows in the upper 60s. We'll start off with clouds early on Friday. Might be a shower. Then partly sunny. It's going to be a warm, muggy day. Highs will range in the mid to upper 80s and a better chance of later afternoon and evening showers or thunderstorms, some locally heavy. And nighttime low temperatures with a chance of showers in the lower 70s. Saturday's weather is looking mostly sunny, hot, and humid. Highs will range to near 90. Sunday's sunshine and hot. Highs, again, near 90 degrees. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to WVOX in New Rochelle, New York, AM 1460. If you're listening on your computer, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. We're speaking with Ron Tocci, a wise man who has been in public office for 20 years. Okay. You were getting ready to tell...
I was going to tell you a story about an elderly woman who asked me... to explain what's happening with the debt ceiling. And I tried to draw an analogy, and I suggested that a couple might have credit card debt of $50,000, and they're having a tough time making payments on their mortgage as well as, you know, their credit card. So they'll go to the bank, and they'll ask to extend their credit line from $50,000 to $100,000. And that would allow them to continue to pay. And the bank would say to them, well, you know, we might do that, but we have to see how you're going to pay us back and maybe execute a payment plan. And in the payment plan, they'll ask about other expenses. And as long as they can show that they're able to make the payments, cut the current expenses down so they're not spending more money than they're actually making, maybe it makes some sense. So basically, the government is doing the same thing. We understand that you can't default on your debt, but at the same time, you can't go on spending more money than you actually are making. But at the same time, you know, we have to show that we're going to adjust our way of life. We're going to adjust our spending. And I think the piece that's missing is that the Republicans seem to be very, very hard-lined on saying absolutely not, we're not increasing the debt limit. And other people are saying, but we have to increase it, otherwise we're going to default, we're going to lose what we have, our credibility, our standing, and so on. So it really is going to have to be a compromise and an understanding of exactly what we want to do and how we're going to arrive at being a stable economy in the future.
So are these Republicans, are they ideologues, or are they bought and paid for by the plutocrats who want them to defeat Obama?
No, I don't think that's the case. I believe that there's good intentions
you
from
think,
most of them.
Do you really?
On both sides.
I don't.
I do, because I don't believe that every single freshman Republican who won doesn't give a damn about the country. I think what's happened is they get caught up in that whole philosophy. Well, the people elected me to make a change, and I'm going to have to make a change. But there's got to be some common sense leadership on the part of both Democrats and Republicans to come together right now with a plan that does both.
I think John Boehner is a rational human being.
I like John Boehner. I think he's trying.
And he's the Republican Speaker of the House. We have a caller. Caller?
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
One of you gentlemen, Mr. Tocci, first of all, it's great to hear you on the air again. To hear some rationality put across. And by the way, many of us would really wish if you would, the next time there's a senatorial opening, forget about the New York Senate. You know, Chuck Schumer could use you as a partner in Washington. I think the country would be a lot better off for it if you were down there helping him out, okay?
I think Ron would rather chill for a while.
the show still like that, but I really mean it. One of you mentioned NASA, you know, we just ended the shuttle program this month after 30 years, and you're right, all those people are now out of work or hopefully trying to get into our commercial space program. But I saw something on the news today that absolutely stunned me, and it said on the news this morning that our friends, the Russians, by the way, we supported their space program during this time since the Soviet Union collapsed. It's us who've been paying for those Russian rockets to go up there pretty much and to keep their scientists working in Russia on peaceful things instead of having them go to Iran, Iraq, North Korea, etc., and developing missiles that can reach us here, you know. Apparently they announced this morning that in 2020, 9 years from now, they're going to scuttle the ISS, the space station. We just finished building the thing, and they're announcing they're going to bring it down out of orbit in the year 2020.
No, what's their rationale for that?
That's what I'd like to find out. I want to know, have you heard anything about this, or why in God's name would you... I mean, I thought the whole idea of having the thing up there was to give us a permanent, you know, position in space to do research.
Okay, Ron, do you know anything about that?
And we just finished building the thing.
Okay.
We just finished building it.
Let's see
it
if...
It can't be obsolete in 9 years. It's impossible.
Let's see if Ron Tocci has any ideas about that.
Yeah, no, I heard the same blurb, and I share the same concerns. Unless they're talking about a replacement, which is more modern with new technology, I don't believe that makes any sense either, since we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think it's in the billions, sir.
Well, it's probably true. Hundreds of billions of dollars putting that thing together just doesn't make sense at all to abandon it completely. But even worse than that, I hear now that we're going to actually contract out for new satellites to go into orbit, as well as anything that we might want to add to the space station. And we're talking about contracting with other countries that inherited our technology. So that seems ridiculous in itself because, again, there we are exporting jobs and giving money away to other countries when we could be doing these things ourselves.
And they kept saying that, you know, we've got our own commercial, space program, you know, I guess out west somewhere, you know, our own commercial I'm going to call them partners.
Yeah.
That's what they called them, you know, to launch our satellites and handle efforts in space. I don't get it. Why would you want to destroy something like that you've invested so much
okay,
into?
Well, I guess we've...
That yielded so much technology.
We can't answer that.
You make a good point.
It's a good question, but we haven't answered it.
And it's something that has to be answered. And I hope that, reasonable people with intelligence will come up with a satisfactory answer.
My only point
of
bringing this up is that most people don't even understand what we're doing in space, why we spend all that money to put that thing up, why we send probes as far away, you know, into deep outer space.
Okay, well, I'm gonna cut you off because we're getting into an abstract scientific discussion.
Thanks very much for the call.
Ron Tocci, some people like to say America is the greatest country in the world. I grew up being taught that, and maybe at one time we were. Now, what do we have? We have the greatest debt, the most powerful army, and our good credit rating is beginning to show some signs of decay. Before we take this next caller, and we will take this next caller, I'm asking you a loaded question. Is America the greatest country in the world?
Yes, I believe it is, and I believe it always will be, as long as we continue to educate the public as to what's going on. One of the things that I found out, having served in elective office for a lot of years, is that there is an ignorance on the part of the general public as to how the political system works and how they can make it work better for them. And if I can do anything in my waning days now of influence, I would certainly want to go out and educate the general public as to what they can do to make it work better for them.
Well, right in the last couple of days, the phones have been ringing off the hook in Washington, emails, and the switchboard was at peak. How what else can people do besides just call and write?
Well, right now, that would be the thing to do.
What else can they do?
But in the long term, I believe we should start with high school students and make them fully aware of how government works on the local level right up to the federal level.
I studied...
The teachers don't know.
I studied civics.
Yeah, well, civics is
one
thing.
A million years ago.
When we were kids, we had local officials come in and talk to us in class. We would ask them questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always find interesting is when I ask seniors in high school that are now pre-registered, as soon as they turn 18, they can vote. Are you going to vote in the next election? And only half would say yes. And they would say yes because they think that they're going to go out and change the world. The other half would say to me, it doesn't make any difference. I don't like the choices. And it doesn't make any difference.
Good point.
And I would say to them, well, why don't you guys do something about it? And they have no idea what to do. So what happens is they would say, I can't get involved. Those political bosses make all the choices for candidates and so on. And you ask them, well, how did they become political bosses? What are they, self-proclaimed? And I try to explain to them that state law allows people to become district leaders. How do you become a district leader? You go out with a petition, you get 20 names on it, you submit it, you go on the ballot on primary day, one person votes for you, you're automatically one of those political bosses
okay,
now.
But has it ever been different? The motivation of a lot of people who go into public office is to
but they
not really good. It's to make some money.
Well, I don't know.
Like for instance, why does a person become a policeman? Or a fireman, or a teacher.
Well, it's a
there's
job.
There's a certain personality.
No, it's a job, and there's a personality.
And politics, there's a certain personality.
But there are a lot of very, very, affluent people that go into politics because they truly believe that they might be able to make a difference and make things better. They don't need the money.
Do you think that President Obama went in for noble reasons?
Well, I think a lot of people are ambitious. I think that he got involved. I think he realized that because he was as articulate as he is, people took notice of him. Mm-hmm. And maybe he didn't have enough experience because it's very, very difficult without the people skills of dealing with elected officials to get things done. So he would have been better served if he had waited maybe a few years.
Maybe. We have a caller. Is the caller still with us, Deborah?
Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry to make you wait. You're on now.
Ron, Marty Rochelle.
Hello, Marty. How are you?
Okay, Ron, how close are we to getting to Veterans Cemetery?
Okay, Marty, I'm going to have to ask you to hold you have to hold us through the break. I hope you don't mind. My timing is just not that great. Please hold on, Marty. We'll get right back to you, okay? You're listening to AM 1460. Marty Rochelle is on the phone. Ron Tocci is in the studio. 1460 AM in New Rochelle, New York. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold. We're having a stimulating discussion with the very wise, intelligent, and sweet Ron Tocci. And we'll be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu, and arrest in a possible Fort Hood plot.
One soldier in custody now by police in Killeen, the Texas town hosting the fort, is actually from Fort Campbell in Kentucky.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown.
Another official there tells us that Private Nasser Jason Abdo has been AWOL since July 4th and was being investigated for child porn. He was given conscientious objector status when ordered to head to Afghanistan. Two others may be under arrest, too, found with weapons and explosives.
The House will be voting on Speaker John Boehner's proposal to fix the debt limit crisis. The Senate, though, not expected to pass the measure, even if it clears the House. And police say two brothers were arrested at Miami International Airport after attacking a pilot who kicked them off his plane last night. A flight attendant noting one of the men appeared intoxicated and not buckled in while the plane was taxiing. The brothers escorted off the plane, but police say one of them returned and punched the pilot in the face. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time to do it myself. Well, I know a place where the answer's right on the shelf. They got the solution to help me get it done. A local institution. They make hardware fun. Cornell.
When we need to record a song, we go to the Loft Recording Studios. But when we need some hardware, we go to Cornell's. 310 White Plains Road, Route 22, Eastchester, New York.
Cornell's!
We're looking for the next Mike Francesa, Michael K., Boomer and Carton, or WVOX alum John Bronstein.
WVOX and WVOX Worldwide at WVOX.com now has program time available for rising young sports broadcasters.
And you can now produce or host an hour or half hour for your own sports talk show.
Our David O'Shaughnessy has all the details about special reduced airtime costs for independent sports talk producers.
Call David now to reserve your own weekly time slot and start booking your own guests. 914-636-1460. 914-636-1460 for special prices for sports talk show hosts on WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
We're making the workday fun.
Just fun to listen to.
AM 1460, WVOX, New Rochelle, and WVOX Worldwide.
1460, WVOX.
We are back. We are back. We have Marty Rochelle on the phone. Yes? Marty,
yeah,
you're still there? Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off. You got Ron.
Marty, I think that it's going to happen. You know, it's interesting because when I was still in office, I had pushed a bill to create three new cemeteries in New York State, and it's now just coming to fruition. I understand they finally agreed on some sites, and the feds are going to release the money that was allocated at that time. So hopefully that will happen very soon.
Does that mean also that the bill to give money to Montrose to build the housing will be out? Because I'm dead against that one.
No, the proposal that we have at Montrose has to do with housing for veterans and spouses. And what's happened at Montrose, as you well know, 250-acre campus is abandoned by the VA in terms of providing hospital services. Most of them are transferred to Castle Point, some to Kingsbridge, and others in clinic services around the six-county region. So the buildings, 50 buildings, are sitting there doing nothing, boarded up. They've been through three winters now without heat and so on. And the proposal is to take those buildings and to convert them into one- and two-bedroom apartments and allow veterans and spouses to live there with a full continuum of health care services and all the amenities that go with a retirement community. They have to be 55 and older. They have to be honorably discharged vets, first come, first serve basis. And that proposal is still live in Washington, waiting for the secretary to say yes.
But yet, Ron, I went to Castle Hill. That's a disaster.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to get better because they have allocated a lot of money to try to make it better. But, like everything else, Marty, government works, and the wheels are square, not round. You got to bend them while you're turning them at the same time.
Yeah, but you know what bothers me, Ron? They say, the soldiers did this, the veterans did this, and they do nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just as frustrated as you. I've been fighting the VA now for, 30 years, so I understand. People think that, this is a veteran service agency. It's not. It's a governmental bureaucratic agency, and you've got to fight them, and they do more harm in some cases than good to a lot of veterans. So I'm with you. Let's continue to fight and make our elected officials understand very clearly that they still don't do enough for veterans.
Marty, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to move on. Thank you very much. Okay. Ron Tocci. History shows that when the middle class is squeezed beyond their limit, revolution is often the occurrence. Is revolution possible in America?
Well, I would say it's possible. I would hope that it doesn't come to that. But I think because people are more sophisticated and telecommunications today allows people to gain knowledge a lot faster than they did years ago, that we would be able to mount challenges against decisions that really hurt the middle class before it becomes necessary for a revolution.
Well, will we do that? Is the middle class active? The middle class is struggling to make a living. The plutocrats are trying to squeeze us dry. When does the middle class have time, as we were discussing during the break? When something really goes wrong, you get people, now I'm going to be active. But until something goes that wrong, and the plutocrats play that kind of brinkmanship, where it's not quite that wrong. Let's try to just keep it on just this end, just on the edge.
No, I think people are becoming a lot more aware than what they were years ago. And I do believe that it's not going to come to the point where there's got to be a revolution. As evidence, whether you agree or disagree, a classic example is the tea baggers, the Tea Party.
Right.
The Tea Party came into existence because they were unhappy with a lot of the people, even in the Republican Party.
But do they know what they're doing?
Well, that's the other key question, $64,000 question. I do believe that as time goes by and they become more educated about what's happening, they become a little bit more sophisticated, and hopefully they do the right thing.
I mean, now they're just drawing lines in the sand that It's not time to draw lines in the sand.
It's
not time to pull the horse to a screeching halt. It's time to tell the horse to slow down, and then we'll deal with it when things are calmer.
Bob, that's where you blame the media. The media, especially the television networks, as I suggested, like to polarize everything. And more controversy, more viewers, more money, more advertisers. It's a sad commentary. We don't have great journalists. We don't have any great editorials anymore, except for you.
Now, people vote against their own best interests. Do you agree with that general statement?
Ignorantly, yes.
Okay. Now, for instance, the plutocrats, again, the wealthy, who just want the votes, they don't care about ideology. They don't care about abortions. They don't care about gay marriage. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, Social Security. They just use these issues to whip up votes among ideologues, and the Republicans seem to be better at that. Is this completely cynical, or am I correct?
No, there are a lot of people that are like that. There's no question about it.
But rich people say, I don't care if gay people get married. It doesn't bother me. But I can get votes. I can get votes by saying I'm against gay marriage. And they just weigh, how do I get the votes? And it's like squeezing a lemon. They really don't care what the lemon tastes like because they're not going to drink it. They just want that vote. They want the juice. That's what they want.
Well, in some cases, that's true. But I don't believe that's the general overwhelming majority. So I really don't.
You're much more of an idealist.
You're a little bit more cynical than I am. And I'm pretty cynical.
I guess I am. Most of the spending that got us into this situation, we have this, I think I mentioned it before. I did mention it before. President Bush's new policies, of course, over $5 trillion. President Obama's is about $1.5 trillion. Of course, he's only in less than half the amount of time that Bush was in. Bush also had tax cuts totaling almost $2 trillion. Why does Obama now take so much weight? And how do they get away with that lie? How do the Republicans ignore that, deny that fact? Bush started wrong wars for wrong reasons. Not that maybe we needed a war. We did get attacked. And bin Laden, may he not rest in peace. Bin Laden is gone. And he should be gone. And Al-Qaeda, anybody who would kill innocents, needs to be eliminated somehow. So I don't say war is wrong. War is necessary. I'm not a peacenik. I don't think we can make love, not war. We have to make both, right? And it depends on the situation. Sometimes war is more fun than making love. Whatever it may be, Bush started the wrong wars for the wrong reasons, economic reasons. Saddam Hussein is an easy target. And he's got a lot of oil. Let's establish the base there, even though that wasn't where the bad guys were. We know they're in Pakistan and Afghanistan now, and we knew it then. And he made up lies.
I don't know if he made up lies.
He made up lies.
That yellow cake uranium business from Nigeria. I would give the benefit of the doubt to the presidents. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. No. I don't think that they're that evil. And I would say to you, we make mistakes. There's no question about it. Every president's
made
mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
It's up to the general public to fix it at the elections. And that's basically what they're trying to do now.
So that's your message. All right. Well, we didn't solve the world's problems. We just realized that there's a gulf between your philosophy and mine. But, hey, you're a wise man, maybe wiser than me, so maybe you're right.
No, I'm trying to keep the Republicans, credible here because we don't have one.
Well, true. We'll have to see what happened to Lou Cengucci. And mind you, when I talk about Republicans, I don't talk about the rank and files. I got some wonderful friends. Peggy Godfrey's a good buddy. She's an honest, real Republican person who believes
she cares.
And there's a lot of people like that. But they're kind of they're fooled. When Obama talks about raising taxes, what they don't listen to is he's saying on the people who make $250,000 or more a year. $250,000. How many people who are listening to this program or who vote for the Republicans make that kind of money? Not a whole lot. It's only a few people make that kind of money every single year. Not saying that you don't have it in the bank, but that you make it every year. Those are the guys that are going to get taxed. Why is tax hikes such a bad word? It's not a bad word.
Well, be mindful also that...
And tax cuts on those same guys.
If you taxed all the rich people, it's still not going to make a dent in the deficit.
Let them.
So.
Oh, cut programs too. It's out of control.
But the point is that they get hardliners on both sides, and all of a sudden that becomes a litmus test, and nothing happens.
Right.
So there's got to be a balance, and we all know that. But you got to get the right people in the leadership
position. And you don't think it'll be revolution? Okay. Well, I don't think it will either. Actually,
maybe here in Nourish Show we might have a revolution.
All right. I'd like to thank Ron Tocci for joining me in the studio today. It's nice to know there are people of both parties, although we only had the one party represented today, who can still think with their brains and come to proper conclusions. The cure is not so easy to find. I wish we had Ron, as one of our callers said, in Washington. We would do a lot better if we had this kind of mind down there rather than what we've got. Our thought for the week, ordinary magic happens every single day. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A. Next up, Howard Sterman. He's in the same profession as Rupert Murdoch, but vastly more open-minded, vastly more decent, and a lot better looking. I am Bob Levensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Enjoy the music. It's Beethoven. Health and happiness to you all.